Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin with new death and destruction from the Southern California wildfires.
It's absolutely devastating, unrecognizable.
Augie Silk's home in Pacific Palisades is one of an estimated 10,000 buildings that have been damaged or destroyed this week. The death toll is up to at least 10, and the flames are still spreading. Correspondent Danya Backus is on the front lines of the Palisades fire.
Wind is still an issue. We are under wind warnings, where gusts could reach up to 60 miles per hour. This as that intense firefight continues and new fires are starting.
CBS's Chris Van Cleve is east of Los Angeles in Altadena.
The wind-fueled Eaton fire rained destruction down on the neighborhoods below, damaging or destroying more than 1,000 structures and killing 66-year-old Victor Shaw, who stayed behind hoping to save his Altadena home.
When they found him, he had a garden hose in his hand.
And so he had tried to fight back the fire.
I believe he did.
A fast-moving fire that broke out yesterday in the San Fernando Valley has moved into Ventura County. Officials say it's not clear how it started, but a suspect has been taken into custody. The Supreme Court has refused to delay President-elect Trump's hush money sentencing, scheduled for this morning in New York. CBS News legal contributor Jessica Levinson.
There will be no jail time. There will be no probation. There will be no ankle bracelet. Really, what there will be is just a sentence that acknowledges that there was a conviction and nothing more.
The Supreme Court takes up the case of TikTok today and a law passed last year that requires its Chinese owner to sell or be banned in the U.S. this month. CBS's Jan Crawford.
TikTok is arguing that there are core First Amendment principles here, that the federal government can't just come in and try to ban a social media platform because it's worried about, quote, misinformation, or it's worried about their collection of data.
In Dallas, crews salting sidewalks as a brutal winter storm dumps freezing rain and heavy snow from Texas to the Carolinas, creating treacherous conditions. Schools are closed and more than 2,000 flights canceled or delayed. Stock futures are sliding as Wall Street braces for this morning's jobs report. CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
It is expected that about 140 or 150,000 jobs were created in the month of December. And if that's the case, it's likely that the U.S. economy produced over 2.1 million jobs in 2024.
S&P futures are down 19, Dow futures off 88. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Big Show, former Wisconsin Badger Brady Ewing on the program, as well as Wisconsin Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy with a few flurries possible today. We'll get to the mid to upper 20s this afternoon with a wind out of the northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight down to 11. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with more snow Saturday night into Sunday. We could end up with an inch, maybe a little more in spots by the time it winds down late Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 21.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I drew my brother's name one year and we went to the mall and I said, hey, while you're in there, grab me a Christmas card. We're doing the gift exchange later. So he walks upstairs, gets the card, hands it to me. I sign it, Merry Christmas. Love, Pete. And that was my gift to him that I made him pick out, pay for, and retrieve. He's like, you are the laziest, cheapest. It was absolutely beautiful.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Friday, we'll ask former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel about the both legal and legally challenged ideas being bounced around in the final days before Trump takes office.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
7 FM, 1670 AM, The Zone.
A little Joan Baez on a finally Friday. Remember, yesterday she turned 84 years young. That's just one of the tidbits you can expect here on the Midwest Farm Report. Welcome in, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yankee. We'll find out who else is celebrating birthdays today, as well as some of our other historical highlights. I like to incorporate that in with all the food and farming news you can handle. We're traveling to the Shiocton area today, just outside of Green Bay by about 45 minutes, visiting with one of our Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board farmers. Matt Wagenson is a farmer at about 2,000 acres and also representing farmers on soybean marketing leadership responsibilities. Going to get him involved in the storytelling and tell us more about some of the activities he's involved in with the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board. We've got another farm salute for our Century Sesquicentennial Farms. Don't forget, if you'd like to be recognized at the 2025 Wisconsin State Fair, better get started on that paperwork. It does take just a little bit of time. Wisconsin State Fair, happy to help you out there. Let me help you out with the weather forecast for today. Looks like we've got a slight chance of snow today before 8 a.m. Nothing like what they've experienced along the East Coast, huh? Talking with Bryce Windecker yesterday, a dairy farmer from New York State, where they picked up more than 6 feet of snow in a weekend. Nothing like that coming our way. Today we'll feel daytime highs right around 29 degrees with a little bit of a wind out of the northwest, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tomorrow, some clouds, 27. Sunday, snow and highs near 31. Stumach, our ag meteorologist, has all the weather details you're looking for on the way.
Consider the big picture of agriculture and the weather outlook with experts Dr. Gary Schnitke and Eric Snodgrass during Compeer Financial's free Crop Insurance Spring Update webinars. Find more details and register at Compeer.com. Leave feeling empowered to build a strong risk management plan for whatever the growing season brings. Learn more and register for the January 16th and February 27th webinars at Compeer.com.
Just like some farm projects, they start out small, but they become gigantic. Bobcat Plus can relate. Bobcat Plus, Wisconsin's largest Bobcat dealer, has been in the family since 1991. They started out as one small dealer and now have grown to 6 locations. Butler, De Pere, Appleton, Eau Claire, Osseo, and their newest location, Kenosha. They offer new and used Bobcat equipment, parts and service, and rentals at every location to help your ag operation. Visit BobcatPlus.com. Bobcat. One tough animal.
Wisconsin has crowned its 2025 Fairest of the Fairs. Out of 33 talented contestants, Megan Solentine of Kewaunee County won the title as the state's next fair ambassador. I'm Stephanie Hoff from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. Charity Seebecker will introduce us to Megan in a few minutes, but first we capture the bittersweet moment with our outgoing fairest, Kelsey Henderson of Racine County, as she says farewell. She plans to continue supporting county fairs even without a crown. Kelsey says attending fairs is something she's been doing since she was in diapers.
Yeah, the fair has always been part of my family, and I say it's pretty much in my blood. So I grew up, and I'm the fourth generation to show at the Racine County Fair, so it's definitely a community event. I attended my very first Racine County Fair at just 3 months old, my first Wisconsin State Fair at 4 months old. Never missed a day of the Racine County Fair until this year when I got the opportunity to travel to other fairs. And I haven't missed a state fair yet either, so fairs are definitely in my blood. So coming into this position, it was amazing to see how my role could change within the fair industry.
Coming into this position a year ago, what were your goals?
Yeah, so I look back and as I aged out of exhibiting a few years ago, I was like, what's the next step for me? And so for me, that was running for my local fairs through the fair, serving as the Racine Fairest Fair of the Fair in 2023. And with that opportunity, then I got to come up here and compete for the Wisconsin Fairest of the Fairs, which was truly a dream come true to represent this Wisconsin, the entire state of Wisconsin, and the Fair Association and Wisconsin State Fair. And coming into my year, goals and things I would love to, you know, implement when I was a contestant last year were education and really promoting the story of our fairs. And so I hope I was able to successfully do that throughout my year, and I'm really thankful for the year.
How many of Wisconsin fairs were you able to attend over the past year?
So I made it to 61 fairs proudly, starting at the end of June, going through the middle of September, and was at the Wisconsin State Fair all 11 days. So no shortage of fairs this year. 10 fairs in a week was the max I did, and 3 fairs in a day was the max I did in a day. So it was truly amazing, and I loved every single fair and every minute of it.
So that's 61 out of how many in total?
So there's 75 Wisconsin fairs. Quite a few of our Wisconsin fairs fall during the Wisconsin State Fair, so unfortunately I wasn't able to make it to all of them, but maybe one day I'll be able to make it to them all.
Looking back on that year, what were you most proud of?
Yeah, so really quickly in my travels, one thing I really realized is how different every single fair is and unique in their own way, but yet how the fair values is what I like to call shine through in each fair. So no matter what fair I was at, you could sense how the community loved that community event, and you could see how proud the fair board and volunteers were, and you could see how hardworking the exhibitors were and how people loved to volunteer. And so no matter what fair I was, where I was across the state of Wisconsin, it was cool to see those fair values shine through in them, even though they're all really unique. And I'm really proud of the stories of the fairs that I was able to share. I really wanted to showcase what each individual fair has to offer because of how unique they were. And through my Ferris tour videos and interacting with them, I really hope that that's something that the fairs will remember and continue to do on their own to share that fair story.
You said every fair is different. What surprised you? Did you ever walk out on the grounds and were like, what?
There were definitely so many surprises. I truly took this opportunity as your only Ferris once. So if there was a surprise, I typically embraced it and tried to be a part of it. So this led to so many fun things. I did rock wall climbing in a dress at a fair. That was a new one. I drove a donkey through an obstacle course, fun things like that. Eating contests, celebrities, you name it. Fairs have it all. And that was really cool. And seeing what different fairs bring in for entertainment and to get the fairgoers there.
So Kelsey, finally, what's next for you?
Yeah, so I have some really exciting things upcoming. I am very sad that this chapter is coming to a close, but really proud of the year that I was able to complete. But I'm super excited for the next chapter. So professionally, I'm joining John Deere full time right here in the middle of January. So as soon as I complete my role as Ferris, I'll be heading out to Iowa to start with John Deere full time in their marketing and customer support development program. So essentially, I'll be rotating through a few different rotations to continue to learn more about the company. I'm super excited about that. But Wisconsin fairs, I'm not going anywhere. I look forward to finding my next role in the Wisconsin fair industry. And that's already started by working with Jamie and the Wisconsin Association of Fairs Board about education and other fun things like that, and seeing how I can continue to fit into this industry beyond this role. So I'm super excited about all those opportunities and really thankful for the year that I had.
Kelsey Henderson along with us. She is the outgoing Wisconsin Fairest of the Fair.
Thanks, Stephanie. While Henderson will be missed, the excitement continues as the newly selected Wisconsin Fairest of the Fairs, Megan Salentine, takes over. I'm Charity Seebecker, and Megan tells me that her passion for the fair industry started at a very young age.
I was a 4-H member for years and years. I began as a clover bud as a kindergartner and began exhibiting at my local fair, just with the projects in the exhibit hall, cake decorating, sewing, rubber stamping. And from there, I fell in love with the County Fair Week and what it brings. So then I became a swine and dairy exhibitor and got to spend wonderful days at my county fair.
And what did you do as your county fairs, or did you implement anything specific during your time representing your county that really stands out to you from your year as Kewaunee County Fairs?
As Kewaunee County Fairest, I got to really represent what my county is about, the exciting things that we do at the fair to bring the community together, to congratulate the exhibitors on their wonderful achievements throughout Fair Week, and bring a wonderful fair family together.
And what helped you prepare for this role? How did you prepare for these 3 days of strenuous, in a sense? You know, it is a long interview process for you guys. You guys are doing a lot of things behind the scenes. Were there any particular experiences or people that helped you prepare for becoming the Wisconsin Fairest of the Fairest?
My fellow contestants were a big, huge support for me while I was here. I met 32 incredible other women who inspire me to be the best I can be in this role and really helped me know that I am enough and that I am worthy enough to be in this position, and it continued to encourage me along the way.
And what about your local fair board? I'm sure they've been pretty supportive, or your local fairs committee even.
Yes, my two incredible fairs coordinators, Isabella Hain and Lisa Koshart, have been incredible supports for me as I prepared for this role and was ready to step into convention.
And what's pretty unique is Isabella Hain was also a past Wisconsin Fairs of the Fair, and I believe this is the first time you, because you were the junior when she was Fairs for your county, and I think this is the first time ever that both of you now, we've had two come through to be Wisconsin Fairs of the Fair. So what does that mean to you?
It means so much. I spent an incredible year with Isabella as the junior fairest, learning from her, watching her do amazing things, and then go on to be the Wisconsin Fairest of the Fairs. She's been one of my most incredible role models, and I love getting to work with her and look up to her. So it's so special that her and I made an incredible team all those years ago and still continue to.
And now you were the junior fairest, you were the fairest, now you are the Wisconsin Fairest of the Fairs. So what are you most excited about for your year ahead?
The experiences, what's going to happen, all of the travel that I'm going to do. I've not made it too many more fairs than my own in the surrounding counties, so I'm so excited to go around and see what's unique at each fair and get to experience each one as a fairgoer and represent all of our county fairs.
And I'm sure it's going to be pretty fun to be able to interact then with these girls that you got to know over the past 3 days, correct?
I'm so excited to see each of them at each county fair because I do truly love them. We built a sisterhood in the few days that we were here.
And do you have any specific goals or initiatives that you'd like to focus on during your time for this year ahead?
I'm ready to soak it all in. I feel like this is an incredible blessing that I've been given, and I'm ready to embark on an incredible journey, see what's unique about each fair.
And what ideas do you have for encouraging people to participate and celebrate Wisconsin fairs, whether it's their county fair, a local fair, or even the Wisconsin State Fair?
I know how impactful fairs have been in my life and in the lives of others around me, so I want to continue to encourage others to go out to a local fair and see what it's about, congratulate those exhibitors, and really participate in the community that fairs build.
And what does the fair mean to you, the fair industry?
The fair industry has shaped me into who I am. I was an exhibitor for so many years, and that taught me hard work, dedication, so many lessons for my life as I continue on. So it's been so impactful to me, and I'm so excited to get to share that with others.
And what advice would you give for someone who's maybe interested in pursuing the title of the Fairest of the Fair, or even the Junior Fairest if their county has that?
I would encourage them to really go for it, that it's built me into who I am and helped me create so many important memories. I want them to know that they have an important role in promoting the fair and the Fairest program, that this Fairest program changes lives.
And what is one thing that you've learned throughout the past few days that you hope to implement or take with you through your year now as Wisconsin Fairest of the Fairs?
Each of the girls has supported me, and one girl specifically reminded us that we were always enough, that it's important to remember that you're always enough, to continue to support each other. So throughout this week, I've really remembered that.
Once again, that was Megan Salentine, the newly selected 2025 Wisconsin Fairs of the Fairs. She will serve a one-year term, and her responsibilities include appearances at fairs and events throughout the state, working with media, and promoting the importance of Wisconsin fairs. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Charity Seebecker.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo signed automatic voter registration into law in December of 2020 to begin in January of 2023. Pandemic, technical, and bidding delays ensued, but preparation for voter registration at the DMV and other state agencies has finally begun. The New York State Board of Elections approved a resolution in December 2024 authorizing the state's Department of Motor Vehicles and other state agencies to create voter registration forms and transmit that data to the Board of Elections database. The new system allows citizens to opt out of voter registration, but will otherwise register or change registration information during official transactions. Gotham Gazette reports that both the implementation of automatic voter registration, or AVR, and online voter registration, or OVR, were delayed as technical staff was diverted for pandemic-related IT projects. While the delays are frustrating, getting it right is critical. Early adopter Oregon recently discovered flaws in its very successful AVR system, with evidence that ineligible citizens and non-citizens were accidentally registered during state transactions. The state is in the process of a system-wide audit. Brennan Center for Justice finds AVR has increased voter registrations from 9% to 94% in jurisdictions around the country. We have more on AVR at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
This message is sponsored by WiskCaregiver.com. Now is the time to start a meaningful career as a caregiver. Make a real difference in people's lives. WiskCaregiver.com gives you two great options for free. Train for the in-demand caregiver workforce as a CDCP, Certified Direct Care Professional, or become a CNA, Certified Nurse Aide. All training is free. Plus, you can earn a $500 bonus. Learn more. Visit WiskCaregiver.com.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Max Inc. Radio, original local music from Wisconsin, Saturday and Sunday, 6 to midnight. This weekend, we welcome brand new band Take Back the Sun, and Terry chats with Aaron Schulke about Wisconsin polka. It's Max Inc. on Civic Media. We are local music.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
In his neck of the woods, picked up more than 6 feet of snow in a matter of a weekend. You know, Stu, you grew up on a dairy farm. That just makes your body hurt thinking about it.
Yeah, because, oh, that driveway's got to be cleared out. We got to get from that building to that building. Oh, the milk truck's coming.
Milk truck's got to get in. Yep, that's what I was just going to say. The milk truck's got to get in. So, yeah, nothing like that in our forecast. But you do say there is a possibility that we might get some snow this weekend.
We may have a little measurable snow. Well, there's a small possibility yet today. Maybe a little more likelihood towards Sunday that there could be a little snow that piles up. Not going to be a real big event for us. There's a weak cool front trying to push through Wisconsin today. A little narrow band of snow from Marquette to Iron Mountain, Michigan. Oh, down through the Shawano-Wittenberg area, down to Waupaca, Wautoma, right down in the central part of the state, just north of Madison, yet very light snow. More of that activity further south, southeast Iowa and Illinois, but a little light snow, some snow showers, maybe a little dusting to accumulate yet for a time today. That front clears out, things dry out a little bit for Saturday. The next front out of the west begins to push in later Saturday night into Sunday, more accumulations. Could be an inch or two in the south, maybe upwards of 3 in northeast Wisconsin. So we may have a little more wintry weather when you look up toward the northeast as we make our way on through Sunday. Next week, then, those temperatures cool off. Keep that in mind. We stay mild this weekend, but once we get a little snow, it does get colder early next week. I'll have forecast details right after this.
As a dairy farmer, you depend on your milk receiver pump. McFinn Technologies of Kenosha introduces the impressive Bopeller pump. It's quieter, there's lower maintenance, as the seals last much longer than your old milk receiver pump. It offers a more powerful cleaning cycle with higher velocities, and it doesn't degrade the quality of your milk. Ask your dealer for the Bopeller milk receiver pump, patented by McFinn Technologies, an American company committed to providing a better product for the dairy industry.
Consider the big picture of agriculture and the weather outlook with experts Dr. Gary Schnitke and Eric Snodgrass during Compeer Financial's free Crop Insurance Spring Update webinars. Find more details and register at Compeer.com. Leave feeling empowered to build a strong risk management plan for whatever the growing season brings. Learn more and register for the January 16th and February 27th webinars at Compeer.com.
All righty, Stu, let's hear that forecast for us this weekend. And if you can, what's Philadelphia expecting for the big game this weekend?
Well, Green Bay is going to come in and win. We know that. But hold on, let's back it. Hold on. Let's today talk about a little light snow, some snow showers now and again. A dusting may accumulate. A little later on, mostly cloudy skies. I think that snow does end. Could be a little patchy iciness in a couple of spots. Temps today, maybe a 30 in the south, more likely mid-20s further ahead north. Overnight, we clear out a little bit, partly cloudy, back down in the low teens with the northwest breezes. Partly sunny on Saturday. More clouds around. Could be some snow by evening in the west. Low to mid-20s on Saturday, and clouds and some snow on Sunday. Like I say, an inch or so heavier in northeast Wisconsin, but into the upper 20s, around 30 p.m. And then Monday, some sun breaks back out. We probably hold in the teens, so kind of cool. Out east, I'd say, nice day. Sunshine probably in the mid-30s on Sunday.
For Philadelphia, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, for anybody that's traveling out here, there, that's good news, so long as the airlines, et cetera, can keep up their end of the deal. Good enough, my friend. Have a good weekend.
All right, you too.
Stu Muttker, Ag Meteorologist, with your Compure Financial Ag Weather Update. Remember, Compure Financial is your financial partner, committed to agriculture and, of course, rural America. You can find out more, especially about their upcoming seminars and resources available online. Just head on over to Compure.com. 100 years in the family. That's the story of a La Crosse family that they're sharing with us on our Century Farm Salute. That's one of the pieces coming your way for a Friday.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on Air.
It is our 1 year anniversary here on Matt Nair on Air. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, for being on this journey with me. It's been great.
Thanks for having me. I can't speak for Calvin.
I'm always thrilled to be here.
Unbridled.
The enthusiasm brimming over from you, Calvin. I'm overwhelmed. Thank you.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Donald J. Trump has been officially certified the winner of the 2024 election the way that the Constitution dictates. You see how simple that is? There's a vote. You certify the results. Democracy moves on. You might not like the results. The person I wanted to have elected didn't win, but that's the way democracy works. Unlike 4 years ago on January 6th, where rioters stormed the Capitol.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Special Report. This is day 4, and Southern California's devastating wildfires are spreading and becoming more deadly. Augie Silk's home in Pacific Palisades was one of 10,000 buildings destroyed in 2 of the largest fires.
You think of all the memories and hangouts with friends as a kid, and it's absolutely devastating. I'm heartbroken.
The death toll from the fire is up to at least 10. Los Angeles Fire Chief Kristen Crowley.
We are now actively engaged in a new brush fire.
We're calling it the Kenneth Fire in the West Hills area of Los Angeles on the border of Ventura County.
One person's been taken into custody in connection. CBS News LA's Mike Rogers says a firefighting aircraft collided with a drone over the Palisades fire.
All of this devastation, and now we are down one very essential asset in this firefighting operation because somebody flew a drone, which is not only illegal, but incredibly dangerous.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. One of the celebrities forced to evacuate their home was actress Jamie Lee Curtis. The Associated Press reports that the last showgirl actress has pledged $1 million to start a fund to help those in Southern California affected by the fires. Celebrities who have actually lost their homes include Mandy Moore and Billy Crystal. The historic Will Rogers home in Will Rogers State Park have also been lost. Nikki Glaser says she was paid handsomely to host the Golden Globes last weekend, but she also told Howard Stern that she was paid less than her male counterparts who had previously hosted. 2023 host Jared Carmichael said in his monologue that he received $500,000. Glaser said she would have hosted for free to prove herself and is hoping to make more next time. Nikki Glaser was the first woman to host the Golden Globes solo. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Bucks are on the road. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks are in Orlando tonight to take on the Magic. Then on Sunday in New York against the Knicks, Giannis Antetokounmpo leads the Eastern Conference with the highest average of points scored per game. Afterwards, you'll find Giannis every night sitting in front of his locker with ice bags on his knees and feet and a timer set for 20 minutes.
Except one. He's not going to be mad at me. Except one that Brooke took. I didn't like that one. But overall, I feel like we're playing good basketball. We're finding open guys. And when we do that, it's with a very, very hard to beat.
NFL, the Packers in Philly Sunday to take on the Eagles. So how do you stop running back Saquon Barkley, who has rushed for over 2,000 yards this season?
He does a great job with vision to get guys, you know, peeking in gaps they're not supposed to be and exploit that. And when he does, you know, get into, you know, open space, he can make a guy miss and take it to the house.
That's Packers defensive lineman Kenny Clark. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, I review 2024 in the law and talk about what it tells each of us about our expectations for 2025 and your family. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy with a few flurries possible today. We'll get to the mid to upper 20s this afternoon with a wind out of the northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight down to 11. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with more snow Saturday night into Sunday. We could end up with an inch, maybe a little more in spots by the time it winds down late Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 21.
Earl Ingram.
The Republicans and Donald Trump want to impose tariffs. They say it's going to bring in $2.7 trillion.
That's what they say when they're trying to justify a tax reduction. Those broad tariffs are not good for the average American.
You know, Sandy, I'm not a guy that knows anything about calculus and any of those things, but I do know how to add and subtract. They're adding to the national debt.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources. Just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family. Because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots.
Woot, woot.
And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Here's what the WSJ had said after J6. This week has probably finished Donald Trump as a serious political figure. Boy, that hasn't aged well, has
no,
it?
No, not at all.
In the Wall Street Journal. So after what they just said 4 years ago, Maggie, they couldn't bring it upon themselves to say that guy who did that shouldn't be anywhere near the White House again. Nope, couldn't do it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Kind of the underrated part of this is they're going to have to keep Jalen Hurts in the pocket and contained on the ground.
You know, and if you're involved in agriculture, you don't make a lot of decisions on your own. Mother Nature makes quite a few when it comes to the weather, and sometimes tragedy makes decisions for you as well. That's the story we're bringing to you on our Century Farm Salute this morning. Charity Seebecker is going to step in with a family from La Crosse. Now, didn't necessarily decide that farming was going to be his career, but when his father passed away, he had to decide, are we going to let the legacy end, or are we going to continue farming? Charity's got that story just around the corner. And another quick reminder that the Wisconsin State Fair is accepting the 2025 Century Sesquicentennial Farm nominations. But I remind you, the deadline is March 1st. So if you've got a farm that you'd like recognized during the 2025 Wisconsin State Fair, make sure that you're getting all your paperwork documents in place by March 1st. Details available on the Wisconsin State Fair website or pop on over to our website, MidwestFarmReport.com. So today is the 10th day of January. On this day back in 1863, London opens its underground. They call it the Tube. It is considered the world's oldest underground railway today. Started on this day back in 1863. On this day in 1946, 51 nations gathered together for the first General Assembly of the United Nations. That started on this day back in 1946. Happy birthdays, of course. We've got singer-songwriter Pat Benatar. She is 71 years young. George Foreman, is he a boxer or is he a pitchman? He turned 75 years young today. And I don't know, do you think he's still sexy? Rod Stewart turns 80 years young. And now you know. As we said today, a salute in La Crosse County to a century farm that persisted despite personal tragedies. Charity Seebecker's got the story.
Farming traditions often span generations, each leaving its mark on the land and family. For Robert Sandman, the legacy of his family's century-old farm in La Crosse County is filled with stories of resilience, hard work, and a deep connection to the land. I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report, and through decades of change and challenges, the farm has remained a testament to the enduring spirit of agriculture. Robert shares a look at the rich history behind the farm and the journey that has helped shape it over the years.
My grandpa came from Germany in 1882, and he bought land in 21 and 24 in La Crosse County in Bangor. And then my parents was born. My dad died in 1978, massive heart attack, just like that. I graduated high school, and he was gone July 31st. So my mother and I farmed in a partnership, sold our cows in 2010, creamer cut Holsteins, bought 18 of my cows. They bought half of 10, 11, and 12. I ran out of cattle, and now I just have, it's a small farm, but I have 153.66 acre farm. I inherited it in 1978, November 78. So then, that's when my mother passed, April 20th of 17, so now it's just me. So, and I'm the third generation and probably the last. Hopefully not, but, you know, the single available young lady is pretty much none available.
So, take me through a little bit more of that original farmstead then, the size, the acreage, go into a little bit more in depth of, was it a dairy, a crop, a little bit of everything.
Years ago, my grandpa bought it. He had land 21, 20. They had pigs, and they probably had chickens too. They had a chicken coop in that farm, originally, whatever, you know, and they had cows. Little bit of everything, like whatever, you know. And then my grandpa died in January 1st in 1975. He was 92. So then my parents just had pigs. We had pigs and cows. And then in 85, I was glad to see my pigs go. Put a pipeline in the barn, new barn, added on six more stalls. So we had 34 stalls in our barn then. So and in 2010, we quit farming. My mother had heart surgery in 2009, took a bypass and a pig valve. So
what were some of the first years like? Were there stories that were passed down of them farming through the Great Depression, wars, or maybe you had some memorable people that came to visit the farm or just fun stories that were passed down?
My mother was born in Sparta, and I remember her telling me there was like seven kids. Her mother would go down to they had farmed, they raised a few cows and pigs or whatever. She would go down, she said her mother one time went down to the creek with her to get supper for all them, you know, because, you know, it was, my mother was born in 32. So, you know, so the Depression years, you know, whatever, you know. And years ago, if he had $10,000 back in the 70s, that was a lot of money, you know. And my parents had the idea, if we don't pay for it, we're not buying it. And that's kind of how we are now, you know. So a lot of things, you know, he didn't buy a lot of, other than the homestead that was there, whatever, you know, whatever. So, you know, my mother and I bought all kinds of new machinery, you know. John Deere, you know, you got to have John Deere, you know.
So what are some of your favorite memories then from growing up on the farm?
Well, we had a creek right across from my house, you know. So we could go fishing or whatever, like whatever, you know, whatever, stuff like that, whatever. But I graduated in 78 and I went right into farming. I mean, I just, you know, I love farming. I went right into farming and that stuff, whatever, you know. And it's hard to, well, my dad passed, you know, that was a big shock, whatever, you know. He's 55, you know, in 78, you know. And then my mother got remarried in 2003, and then her husband passed in 2003. And now my mother's been gone 7 years, and it's like, you know, time flies, but it's just me.
So then what does it mean to you and your family to be able to receive this award?
It means a lot to me. I mean, my grandparents, I never met my grandmother. She died in 58. But it means a lot to me. I wish my mother was here to see it, you know. You know, it's a long time coming. I mean, years ago, back in the 20s and 30s, that was hard farming. I mean, you know, even they had horses. My grandpa had horses, you know, and like an A and B John Deere, you know, and L Strong, LWD, and that's what they had years ago, you know, whatever, you know.
Robert is just one of the many Century and Sesquicentennial farms that were recognized at the Wisconsin State Fair. You can listen to more of these stories at MidwestFarmReport.com. These stories are brought to you courtesy of Compeer Financial. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Rural Mutual Insurance, the number one farm insurer in Wisconsin, is here for you even when the weather isn't. With crop hail damage, protect your operation from hail, fire, lightning, and more. Visit ruralmutual.com/farm.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Markets look pretty good in overnight electronic trade this morning. Right now, March corn's trading a penny stronger at 457. December new crops unchanged, 447. March soybeans currently up a nickel at 1004. November new crop, that's currently up 4 cents at 1018. March wheat up a half at 534. July new crop up a penny, 556. Barrel and AA butter were unchanged yesterday, but the block cheese dropped a penny and three quarters at 189 and three quarters. On a Friday morning, February class 3 milk that goes into cheese down 3 at 2089. March down a nickel, 2054. So let us know what we should be working on for next week. Do you have questions about Wisconsin agriculture, farming, or food processing? Let us help out. Give us your suggestions, your questions, your thoughts on our talk text line, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Whenever they pop into your mind, we want to hear from you.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on Air.
It is our 1 year anniversary here on Matt Nair on Air. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, for being on this journey with me. It's been great.
Thanks for having me. I can't speak for Calvin.
I'm always thrilled to be here.
Unbridled.
The enthusiasm brimming over from you, Calvin. I'm overwhelmed. Thank you.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
I drew my brother's name 1 year and we went to the mall and I said, hey, while you're in there, grab me a Christmas card. We're doing the gift exchange later. So he walks upstairs, gets the card, hands it to me. I sign it, Merry Christmas. Love, Pete. And that was my gift to him that I made him pick out, pay for, and retrieve. He's like, you are the laziest, cheapest. It was absolutely beautiful.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, what is going on in North Carolina and in Florida with Judge Eileen Cannon? Jim Santel from Abacus Law Review joins us to break it all down. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings at 10. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Break. It is going to be Thursday and Friday, February 6th and 7th. If you haven't gotten registered or taken a look at the agenda yet, go to cornsoyexpo.org and you'll find the details there. That's part of the conversation I had with Matt Wagenson. Matt is a soybean grower up in east central Wisconsin, just outside of Shiocton. I got a chance to drive out to his farm over the holiday break, asked him to jump in and tell me a little bit more about his farming operation and why he stays involved with the Wisconsin Soybean Organization as a member of the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board.
Well, we have 1,000 acres of soybeans and 1,000 acres of corn, and we also always have 400 head of cattle on feed.
Yeah. How's the cattle market been treating you? Are those all native breed, or you got a little Holstein cross going?
All Holsteins at our farm. The fats are a great price, but unfortunately, so are the feeders. So yeah. Margins just stay the same.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I was talking with Matt. You had similar growing experiences in 2024 as I did with wrestling the weather, and she always wins.
Yeah, we had all of our equipment ready in March because it was 60 degrees and dry. And about a week before we wanted to start going, it started to rain, and it didn't shut off until about Memorial Day weekend. So.
And that's a perfect segue to what we're talking about today, Matt, and that is how research plays a role in day-to-day decisions made on the farm by you and a lot of Wisconsin soybean growers. Again, I remind you, you want to find out more about how your soybean acres are being dedicated checkoff dollar-wise, go to wisoybean.org. Now, Matt, you're part of the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board. Tell me when you got involved and why you got involved.
2012, I was asked to be one of the DuPont Young Leaders, and that was a great program. And when I finished that, I was asked in 2014 to run for the marketing board. So I got elected. I didn't know I had 163 friends, but they all voted for me, and I've been on the board ever since.
Now, everybody struggles with giving up time away from the farm. How do you balance it out? What, when you kind of look back at your service so far, how do you justify time away from the farm and encourage others to do the same?
Well, first of all, you got to have good help at home that gives you the opportunity to do that. And then second of all, you know, you're representing your neighbors that want to know what their checkoff dollars are doing. And in our state, it's been research. And research has been something that the Wisconsin Marketing Board has hung their hat on.
Boy, and we've got, I always call them the dream team, but if you take a look at our staffing situation for Wisconsin soybeans, Dr. Sean Conley, our University Extension soybean specialist, Dr. Rodrigo Worley, University Extension weed specialist, and Dr. Damon Smith, our University Extension plant pathologist, they work as a fantastic trio with that research. Tell me a little bit about some of the projects that you are watching with interest, Matt, as far as the research dollars.
So we have them working, as great as they are, we had them all working together on one project. And they are planting green. They're seeing how the soybeans react in cover crop, live or dead, seeing how the disease affects the soybeans. It's just a great project to get all three of them together. And it's a fun project to hear them get excited about showing us.
And that's one of those projects, we talk about Corn Soy Expo coming up in February, where they come to Corn Soy Expo to listen to producers, this green evolution, if you will. How are we going to manage? How are we going to keep things in place? That was inspired in large part by conversations with growers.
Right. And the best thing about Sean and Damon and Rodrigo is they can get in front of a group of farmers, talk farmer, and makes farmers more willing to get to raise their hand and ask them questions about what's going on in their farm, and they can bring those suggestions home and see if they work.
Yeah, and I've talked to Sean. He said some of the most exhilarating conversations he has are in the hallway because, as you've pointed out before, Matt, not everybody wants to stand up in front of the room and declare their problems.
Some people don't want to sit in a pickup truck and do an interview, but it still happens.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Again, Matt Wagenson along with us. We're at his farm. He is a member of the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board. Our emphasis on how checkoff dollars are invested in research. Now, we focused a little bit on what's going on in Wisconsin, but what we have to help people understand, Matt, is Wisconsin is now a critical part of kind of a 13-member team that's looking at our unique geography, our unique growing conditions, and the markets available to us. Tell us a little bit about how you've learned how the 13, including Wisconsin, are involved.
So I get to be a representative for Wisconsin on NCSRP, which is the North Central Soybean Research Program. It is an organization that's farmer-led with 13 states that represent 85% of the soybeans grown in this country. So we have 17 universities and 98 researchers working together. So we don't get repetition. We're not competing. We're building a portfolio of research together.
Yep. And that's gotten really important lately, especially when we have so much technology available to us in production agriculture. Data points become critical. Sean's really been driving that message, trying to get farms to cooperate with his research and supply data.
Right. And so he brings his research proposal to NCSRP, and that magnifies that project for him 13-fold, and that money comes back to Wisconsin, not only for Sean, but for Rodrigo and Damon.
Yeah, and that's really where the rubber meets the road, folks, is you invest your soybean checkoff dollars, and sometimes you say, man, especially in a tough commodity year, man, where is that money going? And, you know, Matt, you're a living example of how those research projects come home to roost on decisions you're making on a daily basis.
Correct. It's, you know, early planting of soybeans is what Sean is preaching. And then Rodrigo says, hold on, your herbicide isn't going to hold out until your weeds germinate. And then Damon wants you to use Sporecaster to figure out when white mold's going to come, and then he wants to use Sporebuster for figuring out what fungicide you're going to use.
Yeah. Now, none of those subjects necessarily real comfortable for a farmer, but is it not better to have information versus just guessing? And again, like we said, how do you encourage farmers that might be a little anxious about how their checkoff dollars are being invested, Matt? Do you ask them to call you or take a look at a website, be a part of Corn Soy Expo?
I think Corn Soy Expo is the pearl of what we have to offer for farmers. The networking and the breakout sessions, and it's cold up here, so might as well go down to the Dells for a couple days. Yeah. And network and learn a little bit. If you're going to learn 15 different things, if you can bring two of them home and try them out in April, May, June, July, or whenever, it's a success.
You know, the other thing about Corn Soy Expo, and again, those dates are February 6th and 7th, Kalahari Resort in Wisconsin Dells. CornSoyExpo.com can get you there, or WISoybean.org. The other part about physically hooking up with Damon, Rodrigo, Sean, you may have only seen their name on a newsletter, an email, a post on social media. When you actually connect with those guys and see how they react to your questions, your challenges, it kind of inspires you.
Correct. And they're active on Twitter, and they want to get their information out to farmers, because that's their passion, is to do the research and help us be more productive at home.
Right. Like we said, well, Matt's trying to help you be productive with your investments by being involved with the North Central Soybean Board Council and also with the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board. The best thing you could do for your farm is to be engaged. The best way to get started, attend Wisconsin Corn Soy Expo. Again, the dates February 6th and 7th, Kalahari Resort, Wisconsin Dells. You can find your information and begin your investigation into all the great research that your soybean checkoff dollars are bringing to Wisconsin growers at wisoybean.org. Along with Matt Wagenson at his farm in East Central Wisconsin, member of the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board, I'm Pam Yonke.
Is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Donald J. Trump has been officially certified the winner of the 2024 election the way that the Constitution dictates. You see how simple that is? There's a vote, you certify the results, democracy moves on. You might not like the results. The person I wanted to have elected didn't win, but that's the way democracy works. Unlike 4 years ago on January 6th, where rioters stormed the Capitol.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
What do investors think about sustainable agriculture? One shares his take today on Farm to Fork.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
A drive down a country road can be fun, but that fun can end in a hurry if you're not vigilant for slow-moving farm equipment on that roadway. Farm machinery using public roads are supposed to have signage and lights to warn motorists, but don't assume it'll be there. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork, through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthShoreProductions.com. An industry has developed around the push to make agriculture more sustainable. One company, Snowcap, is a venture capital firm investing in climate tech platforms, and ag sustainability efforts come into play there. Co-founder Nate Salpeter is a former nuclear engineer who has a small farm in the San Francisco Bay Area. He shares how Snowcap evaluates investment opportunities.
Really, we were focusing on this combination of, is the timing right? Is the team right? Is the technology sound? Is there a need? And more importantly, can we also provide value?
Saltpeter's take on carbon markets?
The volatility of these markets and some of the uncertainty around them. As an investor looking at a business model, what we like to see is, can the business stand on its own without relying on it?
Saltpeter urges caution when evaluating a carbon market offering.
Scalable auditing of carbon projects is a challenge. It seems like every day we're seeing a new company spring up that's saying, okay, we're taking visual data from satellites and then we're going to deconstruct it. One of the problems with that is the validation of these models.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Chihuahua.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the director of the documentary Gold, Paige McKenna, into the studio. And with a preview of the next episode of New Wisco Weekend, host Lisa Hale stops by.
Nightlight with Chihuahua. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
The Badgers.
Seeds Max fakes the three, takes the three. Left side, yes, sir.
Fade.
Pivots, fades, flips. Good again. Just outside the left elbow.
Here.
Goes up, got it. With the right hand, it counts at a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, streaming live on the Civic Media app.
Earl Ingram.
The Republicans and Donald Trump want to impose tariffs. They say it's going to bring in $2.7 trillion.
That's what they say when they're trying to justify a tax reduction. Those broad tariffs are not good for the average American.
You know, Sandy, I'm not a guy that knows anything about calculus and any of those things, but I do know how to add and subtract. They're adding to the national debt.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Eggland's Best.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Southern California's devastating wildfires are raging and spreading.
Instead of a snowstorm, it was a flame. Instead of a snowstorm, it was a flame storm. Okay, and it was being blown by 60 mile an hour winds. We just turned off the water and grabbed some things and got out of here.
10 people have now been killed. The number of homes and buildings destroyed, 10,000. Correspondent Danya Backus is on the front lines.
The death toll is rising and the flames are still spreading. Thursday, the Kenneth Fire erupted in Woodland Hills.
This new fire shows that we are absolutely not out of this extreme weather event.
Pacific Palisades resident John Carr defied evacuation orders and stayed behind to protect his and his neighbor's homes from the fire using a water hose.
The house was built by my mother and father in 1960. I think I owed it to them as well to try my best to save it.
Officials say a drone.